This is Vatican Radio. In June this year, the Church shone the spotlight on the issue of disability when the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Culture, along with the Kairos Forum, sponsored an academic symposium and a conference regarding disability, theology and culture entitled Living Fully 2016. The aim of the event was to highlight the gifts of all people, especially people who live with disability. For those who worked tirelessly to make the conference a reality, the year ends on a high note with the issuing of a statement and charter, which has been produced directly from the delegates of the Living Fully 2016 events and offers key recommendations. Christina Gangemi is a disability advisor to the Bishops Conference of England and Wales and the director of the Kairos Forum, which seeks to highlight and respond to the religious and spiritual needs of people with disabilities. She spoke to me, Lydia O'Kane, about this major outcome of the conference.
Well, the highlight of the conference for us was the third day when we all were working together. So the conference had two streams. One was an academic stream, and one was looking at the same themes and issues as the academics, but in a way that was creative and accessible. So we had 30 people with varying disabilities and various people from all over the world. We had 16 countries, people from 16 countries attended. And on the third day, where we'd experienced being separated, actually, on the third day, we all came together and spent the whole day thinking about what it meant to be church, what people with disabilities bring to the church, and how we could create a statement from the conference with a charter for the church. And that's what we did. So for me, the highlight was sharing our faith together, looking forward to the future, and producing a statement that would then help and serve the church. And so much has come up, so many ideas, so many things are happening following that. It's been wonderful.
You're talking about this statement, but maybe it shouldn't be underestimated how important this actually is to have something like this.
Absolutely. It's quite different from various other documents that over the past sort of 20 years have said the church should be doing this, the church could be doing that, or disability should be seen as. What we've actually put in the statement is what we, the church, believe about disability, and the whole of the document and the whole of the statement is in a positive sort of voice, where we say, if we do this, then as church we will be an example for culture. It's co-signed by the Council for Culture, by Cardinal Ravasi, which gives it real credence and real sort of like support behind it as we begin to send it out across the world. What we hope to do is to take the statement and write a program of catechesis so that it can move from just being a statement and a charter to action that parishes can engage in to make the words become a reality for them.
This is interesting because, I mean, it's the whole idea, I suppose, of you have a statement now, and how would you like to see this? You talk about parishes there, filtering down to people with disabilities, filtering down to families, supporting people with disabilities. How does that all come together?
What the most important thing for me would be in this would be to enable parishes not to do things for disabled people, but beginning with the mandate of the charter to recognise that people with of all abilities bring so much to the richness of the church that together the parish community will begin to build its services and to build its support, so that a family doesn't feel that they have to ask specially, don't feel alone in the different journey that they have to travel, but that if anything happens in their lives, that the parish community is that local church that supports them, who are the domestic church. The minute a family has a person with a disability in their family, that's no shame, even though many people say, oh, it's a terrible shame, but it absolutely isn't. The family bring an incredible, valued human person into the world and into the church. So from the minute of their baptism, the domestic church must be supported by the local church. And we hope that our statement will be, and the catechesis that we hope to develop and hopefully take across the world. I mean, it's a big, huge dream, but, you know, living fully was more than a dream, so I'm sure we can do it. But the idea is that that's then the universal church, because obviously the statement comes co-signed by the Council for Culture, supporting and providing hope for parishes so that they know what to do and how to support.
Just regarding, I mean, we've had on the 13th of December, there was the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, the 10th anniversary. And the person responsible for that, he talked about there being disability rights still lagging 10 years after the convention. Is that a concern for you, or do you still see it as a journey where you're hoping to get to where you need to be?
No, I think absolutely that the world hasn't quite caught up yet with the rights of disabled people, in as much as a disabled person is still sort of seen as somebody else, a them and an us. And I think that there is still much to be done for people with disabilities to live their rights. But if we look back 100 years, if we look back 200 years, 300 years, actually there wasn't any rights at all. So what I see is as being Kairos, as being incredibly important, is that we now do have those rights, and so there is no going back. But certainly the church, and I've said this before, and I always say in all of my interviews, the church who is the greatest advocate for the sanctity of all life must be, I feel, the first group, institution, organisation, universal community that says, we won't lag behind, that we will recognise the canonical rights of each and every person from the moment of their baptism. And actually, we will be a leading voice, a shining light in the whole journey of human rights. And then that way, I think we become, rather than following on and catching up, we actually become the community that says, we believe that each and every person is born in the image of God and so therefore is fully human and has rights under the law and under the church, sacramental, practical rights. Because we can't say anything else but that, because that is who we are, which is why our statement is so much about what we will do, what we are doing, what we have to do, rather than what we should be doing. Removing the conditional puts us on a path of action.
Chris, I just want to ask you if there's anything else before we go, anything else you want to say that you feel is important that you want to add to the discussion before we wrap up?
No, I am at present really concerned about this beginning of life, the culture that exists sort of like at the beginning of life. And it really worries me that there are many, many parents. My son and daughter-in-law, on the 25th of September, my son's first son was born, Giorgio. And he was born with a physical disability. He was born perfect. He is perfectly the person he was born to be. And he has various differences with his limbs and his digestive system. But from the moment of his, we knew he was diagnosed at 12 weeks pregnant that he had a disability. The journey of support and the voice of the medical condition and the fear that sometimes my own son and daughter-in-law went through, how will we manage? Who will want the child? What will we do? How are we ever going to do all the work that entails living with a disability? What if the child, you know, all of those fears that fell into their laps because they were asked to travel a journey in the human story that was different to what most people are asked to travel. And there are hundreds and thousands of parents who have to face that every single day. In the ward that Georgia was born into, there were, on the, 20 premature babies, all with potential disabilities, parents who were lost, and the chaplains don't know what, sometimes don't know what to say. There are very few counselling services, certainly in the UK, that know how to support families who are faced with the choice or who are faced with difficult medical realities. That's sometimes the only voice to give them information. And I really believe that this is an urgent call to the church to support the families who enter into marriage, to having a child, openness to having a child, and who are given the gift of a child with a different body, with a disability. And the church must support this domestic church. They are the domestic church, no matter what the baby, his conditions, her conditions, medical issues are. That's a big concern